broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal always remains the same, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, the checks and balances put in place, inspired by the Almighty, wise as could be by our founders, are the solution. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. A quick recap of yesterday's show brought to you in part by TetonSports.com and FreezeDryGuy.com. Flu is widespread in 43 states, and man, we've seen it going around everywhere. It's amazing. It's crazy. But the flu shot doesn't work, folks. Don't get it. They tell you to get it anyway, but it's amazing. They say, it doesn't work, but get it anyway. Just shows what kind of intelligence these people have. There's new studies out now that show people who are not vaccinated are healthier than those who are. So just thought I'd toss that tidbit out as well. Fox host drills Gohmert. Or Gohmert, I guess is how you say it. Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to take on Boehner? Rush Caller says we got to have Gohmert. He's the man to beat Boehner. Newt says he supports Boehner's reelection. Gohmert speakership could be death to Common Core. Gohmert says he's rounding up 29-plus votes to beat Boehner. We talked about a Ferguson grand juror sues to lift a gag order. Why a gag order in that case, huh? We must not have all the facts, huh? Two New York police officers have been shot in the Bronx. GOP leaders now on a gasoline tax hike. So the GOP is already poised to raise taxes. I thought they were the less tax party. Anyway. At CES, that's the Consumer Electronics Show, they got a preview of self-driving cars. They got all kinds of audio integration in vehicles, better to listen to Liberty Roundtable with. And that was hour one, hour two. We had our guest on, Mr. Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, righttowork.org. We talked about there's a lot of change with the Republicans towards a pro-right-to-work viewpoint, which is good news. Will it be enough? Oh, I bet it'll just be a couple of votes short. We'll get to that phrase as the broadcast unfolds. We also talked about a vote for Boehner is a vote for amnesty, said Bill Gein. He's the founder of Americans for Legal Immigration PAC. Sarah Palin on Boehner said, I vote and support. Well, she didn't really vote, but her vote is for Gohmert to be speaker. Hours before the vote, small GOP opposition to John Boehner grows. By the numbers, who's for and against Boehner? Undecideds is the key to ousting the speaker, but you know what? People are afraid of retaliation by Boehner. There you have it. That's a recap of what we talked about yesterday. Why do we talk so much about the Speaker of the House? Because I believe it was a critical test of the new majority leaders or the new majority's power. Would it be successful? What are we going to see in the next congressional realities? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I must report sad news. Welcome to the broadcast. That's a recap of yesterday's hard-hitting news the networks refused to use, available at LibertyRoundtable.com and on your Roku player. Look in the special intersection for the Liberty News Radio channel and then Liberty Roundtable live and on demand, both free on the Roku player and at LibertyRoundtable.com. If you want to click to help us grow and donate a couple of bucks, we'd love every penny we get. The new media is taking center stage, and we need your financial wherewithal to make it happen. LibertyRoundtable.com. You can also turn your phone into a radio and listen to the network live anytime, anywhere, any phone. Simply smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. That's a recap of the broadcast that just took place yesterday and is still available on demand. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kurt Cosby's with me in the house. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. I'm telling you right now, it's a sad day. in America. We made a valiant stand, and we pushed hard, and I'm grateful we were involved in the fight. Nevertheless, Republicans fail again, Kurt. Boehner reelected as Speaker. What do you say to that, Kurt?
I'm not surprised, but I'm always hopeful for the best. I hope that maybe a message was sent just a little bit, and that maybe he'll realize, hey, man, you know, it's not just a business as usual around here. Maybe I got to do a little something, you know.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
Hard to know.
It's hard to know on one hand. On the other hand, let's deal with principles and issues and not deal with frustrations and anger, okay? In other words, let's set aside emotions for a second and let's deal with, in my opinion, reality. Reality is described as things as they really are, right? Okay, so let's dispense with the negative quite quickly. You know what? It sucks. We lost, okay? That's negative. It's horrible. It's awful. And, you know, it can be said that, man, you're always just a couple of votes shy. You know, every time you're just so close, golly, you ought to try again, you know? And on one hand, it's tempting to just throw in the towel or give up or say, hey, you know, it's never going to get anything done. I agree with that, that's a waste of time. It's not a waste of time to try. It's a waste of time to say that we're only a few votes shy. Let's give up. Let's bag it. Let's forget it. That's a waste of time. Okay? Because, look, if you don't work at it, you'll never make progress. Okay? So giving up is a waste of time. Being negative and running around with your hat in your hand saying how horrible it is a waste of time. Now, we did come up a few votes shy, and that certainly seems to be always the way it is, which is incredibly frustrating. I get all that. And I don't disagree that it feels like they just keep moving the goalpost. You know, our buddy Jim Clymer comes on the radio all the time and talks about Lucy and Charlie Brown. And, you know, it feels like that, doesn't it? I get all that. But I want to dismiss with that viewpoint because I'm telling you, even though it's tempting to go down that road, it's a road to nowhere. It's a road to discouragement, frustration, and it doesn't have any solutions at the end of that tunnel. Okay? And that's why I don't want to go down that road. There's no solutions there. Got it? So dismiss that now and say, Kurt, do you realize we had double the support to get rid of Speaker John Boehner than we had the first time go around in 2012? Double.
I think I saw
the
support like that. We had, 12 before, and there was 24, looks like 25 this time.
Yeah, but Kurt, that's double. That's significant. Let's not pretend that's nothing. And you could say, well, Sam, it's a far cry from getting it done. Yes and no. Okay, and I'm going to be very clear about that. Yes and no. And what I mean by that is, yes, I know by the pure numbers, mathematically, it looks like that. Yes, I agree. But I say no because when you get people who have guts, who stand together, the reality, their efforts are much greater than their individual pieces. I think the term they use for that's called synergism. And in other words, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And what I'm telling you is, even though it seems like we're so far, even though it seems like we had a gargantuan loss, I'm telling you that I submit to you that it was more of a win than a loss. I think John Boehner, even though he held on to his seat, I understand that. Even though he held on to power, even though he is literally now punishing those who stood against him, literally dismissing people from appointments and chairmanships and such, the fact is people are seeing Boehner for the thug that he really is. They're now punishing those who voted against Boehner. So on one hand, yeah, they held on to power. I get all that. On the other hand, I think he was shocked at how many people really stood against him. And I think that he was shocked about how public it really went. It went viral. People were against him left and right. But it should show us a few things, ladies and gentlemen. In my opinion, I know this is a buzzword that everybody doesn't like anymore because it's like overused. I get all that, okay? But it's called, these are your takeaways. And your takeaways are, we got double the support to oust Speaker of the House, John Boehner, than we had before. That is significant. Don't underestimate that power play. Don't underestimate it. Don't confuse yourself into thinking we lost. It was a big failure. There's nothing. I agree the Republicans failed. I get all that. But again, is failure a failure or is failure a success, Kurt? Can you answer that for me? Is failure a failure?
Yes and no.
Okay, good, Kurt. That was a politician's answer. Come on. Can I give you the real answer?
Well, I can tell you this. Yeah. You know, you look at, for example, I remember the one guy said, man, I want patience and I want it now.
Now you're talking.
And, you know, for example, you look at this whole in the Fed or audit the Fed approach. And, you know, I'm one who feels like, man, we should have got that done years ago. But I do see gradual, you know, movement towards getting it finally done. It's never enough for me, but I'm grateful for at least the heading in the right direction kind of idea.
You're right. So I'm going to ask this question. Is a failure or a success? The answer is very simple. It depends on what you do with that failure, Kurt. If you give up, if you just put your head down and walk away and say, golly, lost that one, then, buddy, it's a failure without question. But how do you turn failure into success, Kurt? I submit to you, it's very simple. You keep doing what you know to be right, and you keep working at it and working at it and working at it, and you trust in God after you've done all that you can do. And you never, never give up. Okay, the way you turn failures into successes is you keep at it. How many tries did it take to make the light bulb is a great example. Okay, wasn't there way more failures than successes in that deal, Kurt? I certainly think so.
Yep.
Okay, so the answer is, what is a failure, ladies and gentlemen? Let me just ask you that. What is a failure? Let's say that I ask 1,000 women out on a date. And I ask 251, and they all say, no way, Sam, you're goofy. First off, you're all belligerent and political. Secondly, you're white. Third, you're a male. Fourth, you're a pig. Right? We're not going out with you. And so I failed 241 times, and man, I'm just failing. But what happens if, after I get to 1,000, 100 say yes? It's only 10%. What's that, a 90% failure rate, Kurt? 10% yeah. Say yes, 90% failure rate, but I go out with 100 women. And out of those 100 women, I then, well, a lot of them just aren't a fit, you know? I think they're goofy. A lot of them thought I was goofy, but I think they're goofy. And they're nice people, but they should belong with somebody else. And before you know it, I work at it and work at it, and I end up dating, oh, let's just say 10% of the 10%, Kurt. What's 10% of the 10%? Who knows, but it's getting smaller, right?
Yeah.
And then I date 10 of them, and, well, man, it turns out there's one I really like. And it turns out she kind of likes me, too. In fact, she doesn't think Sam's goofy. She kind of likes his goofiness. It's endearing. And before you know it, we become good friends. And before you know it, we spend more and more and more time together. And before you know it, I just ask her what she's doing for the rest of her life. And she says, I'm spending it with you, I hope. And I say, well, then let's get married. And we do. And we have 8 beautiful children. Oh, this is a true story. Did you know that? I kid you not. It's not identical as I just paraphrased it, but it's pretty darn close. And I'm married now with a wonderful wife and 8 beautiful children, 4 boys and 4 girls. I just want to know if I was successful or not. I would say the answer is yes. And it was 1 out of that 1,000. And you say, Sam, you didn't date 1,000 girls. And my response is pretty darn close. Some days I would go on 2 and 3 dates in a single day. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because I can date like a speed dating king or something? Of course not. I tell you the story because I believe persistence and consistency, persistence and consistency are 2 of the most important things you will ever, I'm going to say it again, 2 important things, 2 of the most important things you'll ever learn in your life. Consistency and persistence. If you keep at it, and you keep at it consistently, you will eventually have success. So I know we lost big yesterday. I get that. Headline that I wrote, Republicans fail again. Boehner reelected as speaker. But then I wrote, is a failure a failure? Answer, depends on what you do with it. Solution. Okay, this is Solutions Radio, baby. We're known for it. Nobody can match solutions like we can. I'm telling you right now, nobody. All right? The answer is solutions. What is the solution then to this failure that we had yesterday? To understand our gains and to put things in perspective and to not let them deceive you out of the prize. You got it? Do not let them deceive you out of the prize. What is the prize? The prize is to move the needle towards liberty. Got it? I'm going to say it again. The prize is to move the needle towards the goal of liberty. And so, you know what? We lost big. I don't deny any of that. When I asked out a bunch of girls, and a lot of them would say, no, he's goofy. But you know what? When a girl would say yes, not go on a date, it was fun. And it helped me learn what I wanted in a spouse and what I didn't want. And believe it or not, it turned out I learned a valuable lesson. There's a lot of partners that I dated or people that I dated that I didn't want as a partner or a spouse. As much as I thought I might at first, I determined that, you know, we're just not compatible for whatever the reason may be. And pretty soon I got a little bit more choosy on my own and a little bit more expectations. And I kind of identified what I was really after, what mattered to me most. Does it matter that she's a perfect 10 on the, quote, looks scale only? Does it matter that? Okay, and then you start to put things in perspective and say, certainly looks are important. Let's not pretend they're not. Come on. But there's a whole lot more important than looks. How about a solid character? How about work ethic? How about the same desires to have a big family, to have children? How about the willingness to stand on one's own and be self-reliant, the liberty idea, if you will? How about, and I can go right on down the list, and now looks are important, don't get me wrong. They're always important. A personal attraction, it's valuable, right? But there's more. And so what we need to do is instead of just admitting defeat, we need to simply say, I believe we were successful yesterday because we got double the support against Boehner than we had last time. That is not a small accomplishment. That's huge. They don't want you to believe that. They want you to believe that, hey, he lost. It's over. Fork in it. You're done. Tea party's failed. Give up. Go home. Do not fall for the lie, my brothers and sisters. Do not fall for that satanic lie. The truth is, we had double the support before, and that double the support now, if these people stick together, these alliances that were forged from this push to oust the speaker, even though it was a failed attempt, now that group can double down and say, where else can we make sure that our influence is felt? And now that they know that we will not give up, they can punish us, that's fine. But those in the alternative media are seeing who we are and what we do. Let's forge alliances with them. And let's now double down and see if we can get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 more to support us. Because they'll know that we're not radical, but that we're consistent and that we're persistent. I'm going to use the words again. That we're consistent and that we're persistent and that we will not give up. We will not shrink from our duty. Maybe that's the best term to use here. We will be consistent and persistent. We will not shrink from our duty, and we will stand for the ultimate solutions. And then even those who did not stand with us this time, what happens the third time? What happens the next time? What happens when something's closer than the Speaker of the House at stake? See, we had an uphill battle from the get-go on this, and anybody who didn't know it's foolish. However, what happens when it's an issue that's a lot closer? I guarantee you, every time we push hard on audit the Fed, we get closer. A lot of people could say, well, you failed at that over and over and over, too. I understand that. But I'm married with 8 children, baby, and it isn't because of failure. Even though I would submit more girls went out with me than didn't go out with me. But not on a second date. In fact, by the time it was second date time, there was a lot of them I didn't want to ask out again. And as we refine our tactics, as we learn more, as we absolutely engage ourselves, absolutely get involved, organize ourselves, and find out what mistakes we've made and refine our methods and our efforts, we shall indeed pick up power and steam. We will. And so I would submit to you that it was a great fight. And I would submit to you that what do we need the most? What, I don't know, a little adjustments can we make? I think of it kind of as racing my car in a race. You know what I mean? For those of you who love the, what's that thing called, Kurt, where you race your vehicles? Oh, there's a word for it. Shoot. Everybody loves it in the South.
Fast and Furious?
No, come on. It's your car race, Kurt. It's like the Daytona 500 and all those. What do they call that thing? All the rednecks.
Oh, Indianapolis 500?
No, that's a race, too. You're right, but anyway, all the... Man, this is goofy. All the rednecks.
NASCAR?
Yeah, NASCAR. Okay. It's like a NASCAR deal. Sometimes I just miss words, folks, and thanks for Kurt helping me on that deal. All right, NASCAR. Okay, what happens is you run your car and you go, man, this is horrible. I got to change out this, and I got to add this, and I got to... Man, the problem is I got to change these rims, and I got to... Man, if somebody could just add this new carburetor or do this, or, you know... And you refine, and you go, and you test, and you work at it. It's a work in progress. It's not over. Okay? And I submit to you, in a marriage, it's the same. They just did a big old study of all these people who have been married for a long time. And they basically came back and they said, marriage is hard. And it's something that's never over. Even if you've been married for a long time, it's something that you get better at over time, but you got to keep working on it. You got to keep tinkering and adjusting and refining and apologizing and changing. Okay, same thing's true in a marriage. Same thing's true in a NASCAR race. And the same thing's true in politics, my fellow Americans. And if you're green to this, this is something you really ought to listen to. You're not going to get it done in a day. You're not going to get it done in an election cycle. So do not give up hope. Do find out what can we tinker with and what can we change. What can we do, if you will, to make it better next time. When the next battle comes, what can we do to get even closer? What can we do to eventually move the needle closer to the goal of liberty? Huh? I think that's the valuable question that then, if really you are honest with yourself, you will come up with the ultimate solutions. And I submit to you, what were we missing in this last yesterday support that we didn't have that we need to gain the prize? And I've come up with this. And I mentioned this to, believe it or not, Mike Lee, personally, in his office in Washington, D.C. Okay? For the first 15-plus years I've been in the media, I didn't go to Washington and meet with my senators or congressmen at all, Kurt. Not once. Didn't even try. In the last 5 years, I've gone more than once, and I've literally sat in the offices of multiple representatives and senators. And I'm telling you, I sat across the table from Mike Lee. And since we got one of them there commercial breaks, I'm taught in the radio business to kind of leave a cliffhanger here. I'm supposed to tell you the answer after the break. How's that? So I sat down with Mike Lee, and what did I tell him? We'll talk about it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, there are solutions, and this is where you find them, right here on the radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze-Dry Guy's giant factory-authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze-Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind.
Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Speaking of solutions, this half hour is brought to you by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Now, that's a win-win-win-win situation for patriots, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Learn more. Become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. All right, so I'm telling you right now that a success or a failure depends on what you do with what. And I'm telling you, Republicans fail again. Boehner reelected as Speaker of the House, and I'm telling you right now, you could say that's a loss, but I'm submitting that we had double the support we had the time before. And it did send, as Kurt wisely points out, I hope we sent a message. And I guarantee we sent a message. Was it as loud and as thunderous as we wanted it to be? No, but it was a whole lot louder and more thunderous than before. Is a failure or a success? And the answer is, what do you do with what you've got? I submit to you that persistence and consistency will prevail eventually. And so we need to understand that you don't win elections in a single election. You don't win decisions in a single day. You don't change minds and hearts and viewpoints in an hour. Okay, it's not like a TV show, folks. You don't just have the rock star kind of parachute in and solve the crime in 30 minutes. Doesn't happen. Okay? The battle for liberty is a tough one. It's been going on since the world began. And the solutions are not simple and they're not easy. However, every time we do something that's right, that is good. And the almighty author of liberty does take notice. And so I submit to you that there's a couple of things we can tinker with and change that can absolutely add to our doubling of support to oust Speaker Boehner. And when issues are even closer than that, we might just pull some wins out that we wouldn't have had before. And that's what we're aiming for, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the, in my opinion, Kurt, my takeaway, or my tinkering. You know, it's kind of like this NASCAR race, or a marriage. You never give up, first of all, and you keep working at it, and you make slight changes, and you sit back and you watch what those changes accomplish, and you find out where you gain the most success. Hey, do I gain more success messing with my engine or messing with the chassis of my vehicle or messing with the tires and the rims or, you know, the type of fuel that I put into it? Where is my time best spent? And over time, you learn that. Where's my time best spent with my spouse? Oh, it's usually being humble and kind and apologizing. That's where my time is best spent. But nevertheless, where in politics, where in this battle for liberty
ought we spend our dollars and our time? And I submit to you, Kurt, that if we had 10 times the alternative media, if we had funding to grow our presence, if we were on 500 stations rather than 50, 100 stations rather than 10, 50 stations rather than 5, if we had funding to promote ourselves on billboards and get the word out to, you know, double the millions of people that we're already talking to and working with, where would we have been yesterday? And I submit to you that we might have just pulled it off. And so in my humble opinion, sure, we got to work on the next election in 2016. I get all that. Sure, we need to educate folks. I get all that. But I'm convinced that most people are educated enough to know that John Boehner wasn't the guy. The public was against John Boehner, literally over 100-1, Kurt. There was one congressman that was written up in a newspaper article that I just read earlier today. I don't have it in front of me this second. But he said, I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls for me to vote against Boehner. But I voted for him anyway because my constituents don't understand that not only do you got to have correct principles, but you got to know how to be a leader. We can't have a greenie up there. What? What is he talking about? So he went against his whole constituent set, Kurt, virtually. Well, what if we had the drum beat so loud he couldn't do that? What if we had enough people that said, you know what, my friend, you are out on your ear for that? Okay, I simply believe that the new media takes center stage. If we really get a big enough media presence, we will have enough influence without getting elected, Kurt, to change the game, to force transparency and accountability. I'm going to say it again. We, with persistent consistency, can force transparency and accountability, and we can do it through the new media taking center stage, and I beg you all to help. If you say, Sam, you just want my money, my response is fine. Find some other new media folks to support rather than me if you don't think I'm the genuine article or Kurt's the genuine article. Find somebody else. That's fine. I'm not begging for you to help me if you don't think it's the wise decision. You got to get on your knees and ask the Almighty. Let him direct you where you need to be. But what I'm telling you is if we had enough media, Kurt, to spread the word, I believe the American people, once they're in possession of the real facts, do make the right decision the majority of the time. The majority of the people make the right decisions the majority of the time, if given the opportunity. I submit to you, with Rush Limbaugh having 100 times the media that we have, he was telling everybody, man, you gotta back Boehner. It's kind of a failure if you don't. And the caller was going, no, you got to reject Boehner, Rush. And Rush is going, I don't know. And the repercussions might be brutal. And so Rush was all scared. The caller had it right. Doesn't that show you the breakdown of who's who? The insiders defend their status quo, and the people say, uh-uh. And if we had enough ability to lay out the facts to the American people, they will choose. The majority of the people will choose the right the majority of the time. They will. So is a failure or a success? And the answer simply is depends on what we do with it. And I submit to you that where we ought to put our efforts is in the media. Because then every single battle that comes up, Kurt, will have the ability to use our influence to make a difference. And those battles that are closer, we just might pull off some wins that'll shock them again and shock them again. And every time they become shell-shocked and every time we gain authority and power and ability to influence for good. And that means the needle is pushed towards liberty and away from tyranny. Now, the Republicans, Kurt, for the first time in my lifetime, they've got more majority than they've ever had in my whole lifetime. The answer is 246 Republicans in the House and 54 seats in the Senate. I'm going to say it again. The Republicans have 246 seats in the House and 54 seats in the Senate. Let me remind you. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, it only takes 218 Republicans, or I should better say, 218 votes. Forget Republican, okay? It only takes 218 votes in the House to defund anything. We can defund anything we want if we get 218 solid Americans. And you got 246 Republicans in the House, even if you have 20 defectors. You still have 226. Even if you have 26 defectors, you still got it. 27, you still got it. And that's if not a single Democrat sides with us.
And there's a lot of, what do they call those, yellow dog Democrats that will vote for fiscal responsibility. So we've got the best chance ever we've ever had, and what we need to do is have the new media take center stage, spread the word on these issues, and then win more than they expect us to. Between now and 2016, if we've done that, we will have been successful, folks. All right, there's my rant. Kurt, you want to chime in? What do you think?
I'm you know, done with this I negative believe attitude. You're correct, Sam. And, you know, it's we must learn from those enemies of freedom who have basically done the whole sausage kind of one slice at a time thing over the years.
It ain't pretty, is it?
And, you know, and brought us to where we are. But, you know, the fact is we can learn and we can do that same kind of thing and pushing freedom forward and advancing the cause of liberty.
All right, I'm going to prove the point right now, Kurt. You all hear about the big loss. That's the mainstream press's takeaway from that. You ready for the new media to take center stage once again, Kurt?
Sure.
All right. Did you hear about the rule change in the House?
The rule change in the House?
Yes, sir.
Not that I know of.
All right. Well, you're going to learn about it right now. The mainstream press ain't spending much time on it, but I'm going to because I think it's absolutely significant and kind of proves my point. Yesterday, we had a lot of losses. A bunch of Republicans got elected. They say they're going to double down on the pipeline. Brock says we're going to reject the pipeline, and the battle's on. And hey, gridlock and business as usual, and hey, there's nothing, no change. That's true in a way, but in a way that isn't true. And the answer is there's a headline that says rule change by House recalculates price of bills by Jonathan Wiseman, Dateline Washington. After the speaker's debacle, a significant rule change requiring the economic effects of legislation to be included in a bill and its official cost to the Treasury, well, took the day, Kurt. You say, what am I talking about? Well, they have a move that's wisely seen as a way for Republican leaders to set ground rules for an ambitious overhaul of the entire United States tax code. We're saying if you think of a piece of legislation that's going to have an impact and an effect on the economy, then you need to put the impact in the official cost estimate of the bills. And so Tom Price, he's of Georgia, and he's the new chairman of the House Budget Committee. He says, hey, that way, if you think a bill's going to help or hurt the economy, then document by how much. Democrats, of course, blasted the change as a gamble in tax fraud and economic games. But they say the rule change would invite what's called politicized scorekeeping. And it'll further tilt policies to benefit the rich. But, Kurt, the bottom line is it's valuable. Listen carefully. They say the accuracy, the consistency, and the fairness of congressional budget estimates are in the balance. So the bottom line is, Kurt, they say, hey, when you get a bill, there's going to be a section in the bill that lays out what the expected reality is from a budgetary point of view. And I think this is huge. Now, they try to say the models are too simplistic and the outcomes vary are so great that it won't do any good. It's just political intuition. But I disagree, Kurt. Experts in the House say this is going to give us a handle on things and allow us to accomplish many things. And I'll tell you what it allows us to do, Kurt. It allows us to get guys like the National Taxpayers Union and others to analyze and, one, determine if it's correct. And number two, if it's correct for us to easily look at Bill A and say, what's the economic impact? So they made a huge rule change that's not really being talked about, Kurt. And so because of this, it's going to be harder to shift money between governmental programs and different, quote, trust funds. In other words, there's more transparency, which creates accountability, Kurt. And wasn't that my solution? Transparency and accountability is going to come from consistency and persistence, right? I'm telling you right now, it's huge. So on one hand, we had a bunch of hyperbole. On one hand, we had a big old fiasco circus on Capitol Hill. On the other hand, they actually doubled down and changed a rule that's very significant, Kurt, and no one's talking about it. Just imagine, determine the budgetary effects of economic growth, employment, investment income, and other realities relating to bills in Congress. There you go, Kurt. I think it's significant. I know it sounds teeny. I know it seems insignificant. But I submit to you that it will really help a lot of us keep a handle on it. If you're going to put a bill together, Kurt, and you're in Congress, then they expect you now, according to the new rules, to put a little section in there that breaks down the reality of what you're expecting your bill to cost. There you have it. What do you think, Kurt?
Very good, Sam. Well, you know, that's like we say, we got to recognize the good things that happen and move forward with them. Otherwise, we're just condemned to sit there and wallow in the mire of inactivity and nothing gets done.
And what's fascinating to me is while the Democrats and while everybody else, Kurt, was just discussing this fiasco, I think somebody nailed a three-pointer, Kurt. I'm telling you right now, that rule change is bigger than you think that it is. And I know it's a little gain in the real scheme of things. I mean, you're down by like 50 and you get a three-pointer. I understand that. But I also understand it's a three-pointer. Now, they say Barack's not going to sign the XL pipeline. They call it the Keystone XL pipeline bill. But the Senate scheduled it for Friday. What do you think is going to happen, Kurt?
Do I think it'll pass?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
All right. And then what? Barack's going to veto it?
Well, that's what he says. At least that's what I've heard. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it doesn't matter. Again, I don't think this is about the pipeline, Kurt. What I think this is about is something that everybody should be aboard for. And it puts Barack on the defensive if he says no. Because the House and Senate all say yes. 535 Americans who represent millions of Americans agree and put it through both houses, both chambers. And now you can't say that it's a do-nothing Congress. You can say, the president. When is he going to get off his political high horse and come to the table for answers? And so, in my opinion, it puts Barack on the defensive. Is the pipeline critical? Well, I think it's valuable, without a doubt. But I don't think it's critical. I think it's a small issue to test where Barack's going to stake his claim. And he's going to lose political capital over this for sure, Kurt. He just is. So it accomplishes several things. One, it puts Barack on the defensive. It makes him spend political capital where it really should not be spent. Secondarily, what it does is it shows the significant difference between the former Congress and the current Congress, Kurt. Because the current Congress can get it done and the former Congress couldn't, showing the change. So I submit to you that it's a wise move by the Republicans, and I'm not doubling down for the Republicans. Don't misunderstand me. I've been as against the Republican fiasco as anybody. But in this case, it's a smart move, because if they can get Barack to spend a bunch of political capital, he becomes less effective as time goes forward. And what they've got to do is they've got to stop him from this offensive agenda that he's got going on here, and they've got to do it fast. And so I think it's a smart move. I don't think that Barack will approve it. I don't think they have a veto-proof majority either, Kurt. But it puts a flag up the flagpole to find out, doesn't it? And it shows the difference if they get it passed between the former Congress and the current Congress. So there's a lot of value there. Time will tell what happens with that. I guess they had 9 earthquakes rock North Texas in less than a day, Kurt. Did you see this?
Well, that's a whole lot of rocking going on.
I hear that. It's not even in Washington, D.C., Kurt. CBS
was
News.
Was it West Texas? West Texas? Did it say
Well, they
where?
Said North Texas, Kurt.
North Texas.
Yeah.
They're going to say it's fracking.
You think?
They like to say that because, you know, in my opinion, they really can't blame it on anything but the standard media that wants to basically, you know, not have the manufacturing, and wants, there's a bunch of, you know, environmentalists most of the time. They want to point to that.
Good point.
You know, I think
it knocked items off the walls. Three of the nine were above 3.0 on the Richter scale, Kurt. Cracks were appearing in ceilings, and it generally rattled nerves across the region. There you have that. So while Congress was battling, Texas was a-rocking. And we got a sad news story to report, Kurt. A Box Elder County, that's Box Elder County, Utah sheriff, dies after years of service. Who's that, Kurt? Do you remember who this sheriff's name is?
Yeah, it was an interesting story to me because basically this guy, he had been reelected. This was, as I understand it, like a third term, third four-year term. His wife had passed away, as far as I know, 2 months to the day of his death. He had been sworn in the day before. And yet, basically, the guy's name is Sheriff Lynn Yates, Y-E-A-T-E-S. Basically, he just didn't show up for work, so the guy's 68 years old.
What is it now? Yates, Y-A?
Y-E-A-T-E-S.
L-Y-N-N? And,
yes, L-Y-N-N. N.
Two N's, all right.
Just two N's. Anyway, he... didn't show up, so somebody, you know, went out to check on him and found that he had died, they say, from a heart attack. He was 68 years old.
Well, that's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my opinion, the nice thing about it is that here's a sheriff who, as far as I can tell, he basically served his county from everywhere, from, you know, working in the jail, you know, doing all that stuff.
I guess Y-E-A-T-E-S.
Yes. Y-E-A-T-E-S. He had basically served in the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office since 1975. He had been sworn into office the day before they found him dead. He, you know, had already served a couple of terms. You know, anyway, you know, here's a man that did a good service to his county. His county people loved him and cared for him. The good good sheriff, you know, I guess one guy, let's see, this guy's name is Douglas. Let's see. Anyway, he says he'd always salute me at the county fair wherever he would see me. And I said, "Why do you do that, Sheriff?" And he said, "Because you're the only Democrat in Box Elder County I know." And that was the kind of guy Lynn was. Anyway.
Well, our prayers are with his children, his family, his loved ones, with the community. But you know what? His wife died a couple of months ago, as you said. They're reunited, Kurt. That's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
So there you have that.
Yeah. One guy said there's no doubt he saved lives in Box Elder County. I guess he had an album of old mug shots in his office, felt it was something that connected the county to its historical roots. He took his job seriously, but he also loved to have fun. However, when his wife passed away 2 months ago, those who knew him best say he just didn't smile as much as he used to.
Well, who could smile after losing their spouse, their loved one, the one they've spent their whole life with and their dreams and hopes and everything that life brings to you? You know, it's brutal, Kurt.
And the KSL.com piece says, if anything, now they believe he's smiling again.
Amen to that. Yeah. So I don't want to call that good news because somebody died. But what I do want to do is make sure that you put it in the proper perspective, which is he's with his wife now. I'm sure he's plenty, plenty happy, folks, about that. All right, next hour we're going to tell you the Republicans, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, who voted against John Boehner for Speaker because those are our heroes.
And so we want to highlight them. We want to familiarize ourselves with their names because of what they do. Now, Kurt, did you hear that Utah Governor Gary Herbert is trying to foster the banning of wood-burning stoves in northern Utah?
Well, Sam, I mean, you know, this is certainly a thing that government's supposed to do. I mean, you know, you just have to have the big, long arm of government protect us from our evil selves.
Now, I guess they say as he has approached, meaning the Utah Governor Gary Herbert has approached Utah legislators with a proposal where the Utah legislature would enact a law during the upcoming Utah legislative session that would simply ban the use of wood-burning stoves during the winter months in northern Utah from November 1st through March 15th. But folks, that's when people need wood-burning stoves, Kurt. And many people have that as a primary and or secondary source of heat in their homes, Kurt. And so you get Gary Herbert trying to ban wood-burning stoves.
What I want to ask is exactly who's going to keep people warm if the power and or the gas doesn't get delivered?
Gary, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right, with all that hot air.
Mm-hmm. Well, something.
That ought to do
I don't it. Know. In my opinion, the whole idea is preposterous. Now, it all has to do with this environmental stuff, Kurt.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's the problem that I have with this whole thing is that we've got to stop this shenanigan, this lie about global warming. And don't get me wrong, wood-burning stoves do put out some toxins, Kurt, but it's nothing compared to what the environment does on its own. One single volcano eruption puts in 10 times, 100 times, who knows what. Anyway, I'm telling you, it's beyond imagination. Restricting the American people from heating their homes is not the answer. You got to find a different plan, Mr. Governor Gary Herbert. You just do. All right, we're going to talk about how Boehner's punishing everybody. We're going to talk about how narrow the vote was. We're going to have Dr. Michael Kaufman in the House next hour. So bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is 1 hour's in the can. We're not giving up hope, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to work. How about you? Solutions on your radio. You want to be part of them? All right, click your browser over to LibertyRoundtable.com and click on Help Us Grow and Donate and get involved in the solutions today. The new media is taking center stage and we need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com, we declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You going to help? Thanks.